Hello, friends, and welcome to Beloved City Church. Whether you are in person or online or on the listening in on the podcast even, thanks for being with us in these moments. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, new to faith and spirituality, maybe exploring Jesus for the first time, or maybe you've been a Jesus follower for a long time, I believe today will still be one more opportunity to help you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to take one more step toward truth about God and about faith and about yourself. Over the past 10 episodes, we have been learning some of the reasons we do not walk in the freedom that we've been gifted by Jesus. Living this life to the fullest, we've learned that we are all deeply affected by sin and those things that we do that miss the mark of God's hope and plan for us. Holiness by choices we have made and what other people have done to us as well. And over the past 4 talk episodes, we've explored matters of the heart, those things that just plug up our heart, or heart blockages, specifically selfishness and bitterness, rejection, and evil thoughts even. And these heart issues are driving our symptoms such as giving into temptation over and over again, depression, prolonged depression, anger, lust, anxiety, and many more. These blockages often are preventing you and I from living in the freedom and abundant life that we have been gifted in Christ Jesus. We've also been praying, which is having conversations with God. And in these conversations, we've invited the Holy Spirit to show me, to change me, and of course, to fill me. As we've begun to recognize these areas in our lives where we have blockages, what are blocking our hearts and our lives from living in the overflow that Jesus wants us to live in. From all that God has us for us, our design is to have hearts that are overflowing with surrender and forgiveness and words of life that are being spoken over us and through us, being refreshed and cleansed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now that we're learning and putting into practice what we've learned about these heart blockages, there is another factor yet to be addressed. There's more things to learn. There is an enemy at work in the earth and in the heavens, an enemy of our soul who has a plan for your life as well. And I want to help you understand and acknowledge the fact that the devil or the enemy, Satan, demons are real today. Not only that they are real, but they want to destroy you and everything good. However, they also respond to higher authority, the very name of Jesus, friends, the Word of God, and the blood of the cross, which we're going to explore today. So in order to engage in spiritual warfare, to fight, to push back these gates of hell, to ensure that we are fighting off the attacks and the arrows of the spiritual enemy against our soul, proactively, there are 3 things that we must do, and we're going to unpack this today, okay? The first one is we must be living in submission to God, submitted to God, surrendered to Him, letting Him be our forgiver and our leader. Jesus is our forgiver and leader. He is the way, the truth, and the life, friends. Number 2, we must close any open doors that are left open for the enemy to walk through in our lives. And number 3, we must confront the enemy of our soul daily. Over the remaining course of this current talk series, I pray that you will be able to experience freedom like you may have never experienced yet in your life. A freedom that moves you from barely surviving in Christ to thriving, living a life that's thriving in Jesus Christ. Let's unpack this spiritual warfare for a few moments. So today, let's see what we can debunk in the process as well. Is that okay? See if we can disrupt some of our thought patterns today. In the book written by Dr. Luke that we find in the collection of books we call the Bible today, an early Jesus-y student, his writing also found in the collection of books we call the Bible, as I mentioned, the Acts of the Apostle. The book is filled with the accounts of the early church, a movement of Jesus followers who continued following in the ways and teaching of Jesus after Jesus actually vacated the earth in human form. There is this great account of the promise of Christ. He said, "Don't worry, I'm going away, but when I go away, I'll send the Comforter in my name, and you will be empowered," which is anointed with the same power and authority from on high as Jesus has and walked in. The apostle preached similarly to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. In Acts 10 and verse 38 says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Now, I listened into a conversation on a recent podcast this last week, and it hit me in a particular way. It was a conversation about Jesus centricity, which is keeping Jesus at the center of all my life, my rhythms, my patterns, motivations, desires, passions. And it was said that Jesus did two wonderful things often. He came, as we know and read about, he came to comfort the afflicted, and he also came to afflict the comfortable. It really resonated with me and reminded me of the tensions we find ourselves in as the local church today, in my own faithing sometimes. If we were literally to resume the mission of Jesus in the earth today, what aspects of my life and of your life would it change? I believe the enemy attacks us, attacks the church and the followers of Jesus in some similar ways as the first century Jesus followers may have experienced. Yet, I also believe the enemy has been learning from us as humans for centuries and deploying his tactics against the church, the body of Christ, deferring tactics. I've said this before, and I believe it's worth repeating. In our country, we are not being killed for our faithing and followership of Jesus, are we? No, but we are experiencing our comforts being disrupted. We are experiencing careerism as our new form of faith and religion. We are facing insatiable appetites for our entitled consumerism, using our time and energy in a way that brings little to no return on our investment, filling the entirety of our lives with meaningless things that are or were pursued for the sake of an overpromised and undelivered sense of fulfillment, friends. I don't know about you, but this resonates with me. I know these are some of the traits and patterns and rhythms that I've had in my life, but I'm asking Jesus to change it. Show me, change me, fill me. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The Jesus way is so different than what our host culture or even our reformed church societal preferences may lead us to think. Friends, there is an enemy who is real, who seeks to kill, to steal, to divide, to destroy, whether it be mentally or spiritually and physically. And guess what? The opposing forces of good and evil, or God and Satan, both work in and on the hearts and minds of humanity. Most often, when we think of demons or devils and Satan, we think of Halloween maybe, or witches and ghosts and beasts and goblins, horns and pitchforks, red skin suits, fire and hell. But there are three things that I want you to know about demons. Okay, so let's look in the book of Revelations. It's the last book in the collection of books in the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The author John descriptively writes about an army of angelic beings who were in league with Satan, and they break out in this epic conflict in heaven. Revelations 12, verses 7 to 9, it says this: "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back." It's an epic picture of battle. Verse 8, "But he was defeated, the dragon, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan." So now it clarifies who's this dragon serpent is. "The deceiver of the whole world." That's what he does. "He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels who were following him were also thrown down with him." Such a dramatic scene of battle between good angels and bad angels. How often do you see the cartoon, though, depicted with Satan on one shoulder and Jesus on the other shoulder, and you're having this conversation between the two? It's actually not quite the scene here. Jesus is not equal or on equal playing fields with the devil. This was a battle between equals. God has no counterpart, friends. If anyone is the counterpart of Satan, it would be the archangel Michael, who seems to be the chief angel opposite the chief of the fallen angels. Now, here are three things that I want you to know and to learn today. So write this down, get your pen, your book out, your notebook, your journal, whatever it is. The first one is demons are real, friends. That old serpent, dragon, deceiver, the father of liars, a vicious accuser and adversary, he and his skulking around like a roaring lion looking for who they can devour, him and his army of evil angels. We don't have to look very far or ponder for very long to realize and understand that the earth and world is filled with evil. It's not too hard to believe that there's an evil spirit or evil force. Many people will believe that there's a devil before they even believe that there's a God. But we don't have to ponder very long to understand that the earth and world is filled with evil. Open any news channel, your newspapers, social media. There's evidence all around us that evil is in the hearts of man, that dark forces and evil spirits are present and influencing minds and hearts of our fellow humanity. So demons are real. Number two is I want you to understand that demons And evil spirits want to destroy you, friends. They're not there to help you or to bring out the party in you. Using deception and lies, dressing up as what he thinks he knows that you want. It's not so hard, is it? I'm sure. We verbalize and declare what we want or wish for all the time, don't we? Like, oh man, I wish I had more money. Oh, I wish I had a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Oh girl, I wish I could have this and that. Not only does our tongue advance the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light, every magazine that we open, every book that we read, every movie that we watch reveals our heart's search. The devil doesn't have to go to Google search. He can just watch us and see what our hearts are searching for. The physical manifestations of the condition of our hearts are preyed upon by evil spirits who are in rebellion to God and hell-bent on destroying you, friends. And anyone who may still have the opportunity to choose to live in light and love. Now see, darkness is the absence of light. Fear is the absence of love. Death is the absence of life. Sickness is the absence of health. But here's what we can do to participate and succeed in spiritual warfare in our lives. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9 says, "Be alert, friends, and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." So stay clear-minded, sober, be watchful, be vigilant, resist him. Now, there are some doctrines of devils of which I disagree with. Demons do not have the power, friends, to destroy your body. They can't read your mind. They can't see your thoughts. They can't destroy your body, your soul, or your spirit. Sickness in disease is not demonic. Mental illness is not demons in your mind. These doctrines are confusing and birthed from an antichrist belief system, friends. Sounds really godly, doesn't it? But absolutely denies the power of God in Jesus Christ. And I'd like to bring this to the table another time to unpack this more specifically. But for today, we're going to continue exploring where we're on track here. So all power and authority is in Christ Jesus. When you are standing firm in the faith, the faith in Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, you're faithing, you're living this out loud. You are in Christ and seated in heavenly places with Christ on the right hand of power and the authority of the Father, our Creator in heaven. Where are you, friends? You are both here spatially, here in present on the earth, and yet in Christ, seated in heavenly places, and Christ in you. You are one in Christ by the Holy Spirit. This is hope-filled and glorious. And if you want to read more about it, read Ephesians, the book of Ephesians 1 and 2. So what? Well, let's read it in scripture so you can see it beyond just my words. Colossians 2 and verse 6 through 15 says, "Therefore, friends, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceits according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." All rule and authority is in Christ Jesus, and you have been filled with him, friends. "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body and the flesh, the desires of this flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism," friends, "in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you and I who were dead in trespasses and our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." It's finished, friends. "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." Wow. Canceling this record of debt. All authority and power that's in God was given to Christ and now dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. Disarming all rulers and authorities and putting them to open shame. This is beautiful. While I'm here, though, on this thought, another myth worth debunking. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ in you, the Holy Ghost, there is no room for a second king or kingdom in your soul, in your spirit, in you. Jesus isn't cheap and doesn't half fill you and then cozy up inside of you beside and alongside evil spirits and demonic influences. No, friends, he fills you to the overflowing of your cup. This is an act of choice, a participation, a step that we take. Come, fill me full of you, Jesus, and your light, your life, and your love. Kicking out darkness, light overcomes darkness, friends, overcomes your hurt and your brokenness, your shame, and the evil spirits that were present there before Jesus fills you. Oh man, thank you, Jesus. Jesus was being accused of casting out demons by the power of Satan, this demon king, by some religiously people in the scripture context. Jesus responds with this, though, in Luke 11 and 17 says, every kingdom divided against itself is laid to waste, and a divided household falls. There is no half filling, people and friends. You are full of the Holy Spirit. When you believe that Jesus is your forgiver and your leader, and you choose to follow him and to continue following him, be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no divided household. He doesn't just leave it there. He goes on in verse 20 and 23 and proclaiming his strength over all demonic forces. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace, right? But when a stronger than he comes to him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me, this is Jesus speaking, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Now, essentially, Jesus is saying, I'm not in league with Satan. Instead, I am proving that I am stronger than he is, defeating Satan on our behalf, disarming him and triumphing over him, as we read in Colossians. Now, this doesn't necessarily let you off the hook per se, or completely off the hook. We already have learned that what we speak has power and advances one of the kingdoms, light or darkness. And there is no room, friends, hear this study, there is no room for neutrality. This is a conflict against the powers of darkness. That's what we're engaged in, a warfare, conflict against the powers of darkness. We are either for Jesus or against him. We have a choice in what kingdom that we are participating in, what kingdom that we are advancing here and now. If Satan is the strong man in Luke 11 context, and Jesus is stronger than Satan is, there are two strong forces at work, which we know. One will have our allegiance. We will either embrace one or the other, intentionally or unintentionally. We will be filled with one or the other. See, staying neutral looks like Luke 11 and 24, the picture there. This house was just cleaned out, swept out of unclean spirits, yet wasn't filled with Jesus. It's a picture of someone who is trying to remain in this neutral posture, or even one who is playing both sides of the fence. Christianese on Sunday and a rebel on Monday. You can't and won't have both, friends. The unclean spirit returns. The picture goes on in Luke 11 with seven more evil spirits and kick up their feet and enjoy this clean house. The state of that person will be worse than it was. This posture of, well, I'm not really for Satan and I'm not really for Jesus. Jesus shows us that this is completely impossible. The heart of a man has like a vacuum-like nature. It has to be filled. If we empty our heart of evil, it must be filled with Jesus and his good for our lives. Jesus, the scripture says, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus hasn't merely come to fight against evil, but to overcome it, to overcome darkness. Light cannot be in a room and be present with darkness at the same time. God has come to us in Jesus Christ, points us to a total new way of living, so we might have life, love, and light in our hearts. This household, friends, this household, your household, it cannot be divided. This is truly freeing. And friends, this freedom does look good on you. Here's what happens when light, life, and love is dwelling in your heart. Paul speaks about this to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 5. He says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So verse 1 says, therefore, friends, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But this, listen here, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness, jealousy, all those things must not even be named. They can't be present among you as improper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Are you trying to overcome crude joking and foolishness and filthiness? Well, let there be thanksgiving on your lips instead. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is being an idolatry, putting other things above God in your life, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, friends, therefore, hear this, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were walking in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, friends. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to God. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. And for instance, it becomes visible so that it can be healed, so that it can be remedied, so God can help you work through it, okay? Verse 14, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, you sleepers, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because these days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, which is rebellion, same spirit as Satan, by the way, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I am choosing in my life to live in this love, light, and life. I will have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Friends, don't play on the devil's playground. Stay out of the gray areas, the gray zones. What are you messing around with it for? Who are you entertaining? Fruitless deeds, dead works? Put a stop order on foolishly entertaining darkness and the spirit of rebellion in your life. Okay, the third thing I want you to know today is demons respond to this higher authority invested in you. 1 John 4:4. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And this greater one who is in us gives us the tools, equips us, clothes us, nudges us, guides us. We are battle readied, friends. We are not ill-equipped, measly Christ followers who are unable to withstand the enemy. No. Ephesians 5:10 tells us about this too. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in you and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, friends. Verse 12, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides you so you're protected as you confront this slanderer in your life. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. God's authority given to humankind when we believe, faithing, a child of God, kingdom agents, spiritual soldiers, we walk in his authority, working in his kingdom, confronting the operations of rebellion led by the slanderer in this spiritual world. So here are three ways I'm going to give you that you can walk operationally effective in the authority of God. You ready for this? Number one, the highest authority is in Jesus' name. We must understand this. Jesus, in one account, according to Dr. Luke, multiplies his leadership and sends out 35 teams of people, 70 disciples, readied and equipped to share the good news of the purposes of the kingdom. He says, friends, I'm sending you like sheep among wolves. But trust in God alone. Don't get distracted by another purpose or another purposes. And look for people who are lovers of peace. When you find one, stay with them. Some of us here listening today can learn something from this. Stop looking for the argument or to pick a bone with our world. Look for lovers of peace, friends. Eat what they serve you. He goes on, heal the sick and tell them all that God's kingdom has arrived and is now within reach. And remember, whoever rejects you is rejecting me, Jesus says, and the one who sent me. So here in Luke 10, 17, the disciples are returning from this mission trip, per se, and they share this good news report in verse 10. When the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling him, "Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in your name." Jesus replied, "While you were ministering, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in his authority." Number 20, verse 20. "However, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, by the way, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven." This is the most important part. "And that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority." What Jesus saw in his disciples was evidence that Satan had already lost his position of power. He is a conquered enemy. And when we act in the name of Jesus, victory is assured, friends. And keep in mind, friends, this isn't all. That the demons submit to your authority. Better yet, your names are written in the journals of heaven. You belong to God's kingdom. Your authority, your confidence, your security, your power to tread on demons, to overstep them, is only possible because of what God has done for us. Pride always comes before a fall, friends, just like Satan. There is no place for us to get cocky and arrogant and impressed with ourselves. Yes, we can take courage and walk in the authority and be confident in God, who wants us to see that what he has done for us is always far greater than what we could ever do for him. It's all about Jesus. Humility, honesty, and generosity are pillars for healthy, good, strong character. The good news of Jesus's life lived, the part we don't often study actually, and refer to as part of the gospel meta narrative, Jesus, who emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant in human form, humbled himself, obedient even unto death on a cross. Because of his obedience, he was exalted by God, elevated above everyone, given a name that is higher, far greater than any other name. If you want to grow in your spiritual influence, friends, in authority, learn to walk in humbled obedience to the word of God. It's no surprise we are unable to overcome that spirit of evil when we are not walking in the authority in Jesus, in the word. Let it change your course today. Philippians 2 and 10 says, "The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to his name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. In the name of Jesus, we walk obediently and humbly in the authority, the God-given authority that we get to walk in. Freedom looks good on you, friends. We're talking about walking operationally effective in the authority of God. Number two, the authority of the word of God. We talked about this at some length in our last episode, the authority of the word, speaking the word of God, seeking the word of God, searching through the scriptures, seeing the scripture beyond the pages, beyond a physical holy book, beyond simply another devotion to check the box of your daily improvement tips. But can you and will you see the scriptures as an offensive weapon, a sword to wield, to be used in spiritual warfare, friends, not against your brothers and sisters, friends, that's grossly neglect, or someone who is not even a follower of Jesus, but against powers of darkness, evil spirits, friends? Sometimes we are quick to look at the host culture that we are living amongst to pick a bone with, to fight with or against. Instead of picking up a picket sign or marching in the streets, why don't we pick up the scripture, the word of God, and take our warfare to the prayer closet and war against principalities and powers of the air, and then, like Jesus, get up and live differently than our host culture. It's not how big your sword is that matters to our host culture. It's how you love others. And you live that love out loud. Where you live, where you work, where you study and play, stop picking fights with your neighbor. Pray first, fight that spirit of dead works, and then go out and love your neighbor. Love your enemy, do good to them, and bless them. Friends, this is the Jesus way. Spiritual warfare. Use the authority of the word of God in your spiritual fight. Jesus often used this tactic when confronted by Satan. You might remember this. He always returned it with, "It is written." The word of God has authority over Satan and every vile and evil demon. Learn your sword. Develop your craft. Become an expert in plying the sword, the word of God, in offense to Satan and his enemy, and the enemy of everything good. All right, the third thing, the blood of the cross has authority. The blood of Jesus has authority. How? By your testimony, friends. Your shared story of how love, light, and life has gifted you such a freedom and liberty from the vile and dark practices of this world. Revelations 12 and 11 says this, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." What are we conquering? We are overcoming Satan's accusations, pushing back the very gates of hell. Accusations that mean nothing against us because Jesus has already paid the penalty for your sins. We have been made righteous, restored back into good standing, into relationship with our Father and Creator by the work of the cross, by the work of Jesus on the cross. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." It's not by what you're doing or by my works and how hard I work. Without regarding the blood as something that is superstitious or maybe a magical potion, nor that it's a literal application of blood or molecules of blood, the blood of Jesus speaks to us of the real and physical death of Jesus in our place on earth on our behalf before God. A literal death in our place, a literal judgment bore on our behalf. That is what saves us. It's of Christ and not of ourselves, friend. The blood of Jesus heals our troubled conscience because we know that by his death, our sin has been paid for. This is Hebrews 9 and 14. His victory has become your victory, friends. By faith, we grasp his victory as our own, and we can be assured that every fear that Satan wants to whisper into your ear is a lie. The blood, it works because the death of Jesus on the cross as our substitute purchased us as God's personal property. And that makes us want to live unto God, that love. Spurgeon says this. Spurgeon, remember, preacher and theologian from the 1800s. He said it this way: "If anything can make men holy or separate from the world, it is a firm faith in the atoning sacrifice, the payment that was done. When a man knows that Jesus died for him, he feels that he is not his own, but bought with a price, and therefore he must live unto him that died for him and rose again." We use the authority of the blood of the Lamb in spiritual warfare, friends, not as a Christian abracadabra, as if chanting the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that could keep Satan away like garlic is said to keep away vampires. Rather, our understanding, our apprehension, our focus, may I say our grateful obsession with the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross and from the cross as our substitute wins the battlefield in the mind. No, Satan, I do not belong to you. I am blood bought. I am a blood bought child of God who has the same authority given to Christ in me through the Holy Spirit, living and dwelling in me. Get behind me, Satan. Knowing and remembering the work of God in your life will protect you against Satan's deceptions. As faithful witnesses of Christ's work in you, you have a testimony, a story to bear. And because you know what you have been, what you have seen and heard and experienced from God, you cannot be deceived by Satan's lies telling you it isn't true. You are overcoming by the living word of your testimony of Jesus Christ. Not clinging to your own earthly life, not loving your life overcomes Satan's violence. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians talks about this. Philippians 1:21, Satan preys on those whose lives are the most precious thing to them. You give him no foothold in your life when you find your life by losing it for Jesus, as we read in Mark 3:35. Finding your life by losing it for Jesus. I'm going to leave you with three. I'm using three, lots of threes today. Three daily steps in closing that you can use to engage effectively in your spiritual warfare. Matthew 10:1 says, Jesus called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease. So the number one thing we want to do to engage effectively in spiritual warfare is surrender yourself to God. Walk in submission and surrender to God. James 4:7 says this. So then surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Move your heart closer to God and closer, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners. Keep your heart pure. Stop doubting. All right. So surrender yourself to God. Number two, close any doors that you have left open to Satan. Ephesians 4:26 says, In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold in your life. See, friends, don't give the enemy room to sneak in and devour your day, your mood, your peace. Deal with things in a timely and loving manner. Don't leave doors open for Satan to creep back in into your life. The third thing, lastly, confront your enemy daily through prayer and scripture. Friends, pray first. Don't pick up the alcohol or the picket sign or the porn magazine or go binge shopping to cope with what's going on in your life. Pray first, friends. Confront your enemy through prayer. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we walk in this humanity, we are not waging war against the flesh," or according to the flesh, I should say. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So confront your enemy, take those thoughts captive, pray first. Freedom does look good on you, friends. Can you close in prayer with me? Jesus, we thank you so much for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin, my shame, and healing my brokenness and pain. I choose to receive your extravagant gift of life today, and I ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and leader of my entire life, all my rhythms and patterns, motivations and passions. Jesus, I give you all of me in this moment and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your spirit today and help me live the life that you died to give me. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to learn more about your way of living. Holy Spirit, reveal and reconcile these areas in my life where I've surrendered to the influences of evil spirits. Reveal to us through your word and spirit, your authority given us, Jesus, your plans and purposes for our lives, how we too can walk in freedom, walk in liberty, and walk with abundant life. Show us how to activate your word in our lives. Holy Spirit, continue to transform and change me and fill me to the fullest, to the overflowing with your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, so good. Hey, friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized like Jesus teaches us, let us know. We'd love to walk that out. Apple loved. We are so passionate about what God has called us to do to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity, both in us and in others. Will you take a step to partner with us with your time, energy, and money, with partnering with us at Beloved to help us continue to grow the day-to-day ministries of Beloved? Let's make a difference in this city, friends, in our circles of influence. Faith without works is dead faith. So together we can work out of our faith. Here's how you can do it. We can make it official. Join the Big Table family here at Beloved City Church. Sign up for the next family discovery night. Make it work. Help us make it work. Join the Grow team and serve alongside the team at Beloved in ministry teams and help us make it grow. Will you prayerfully consider giving financially today to help support the day-to-day ministry of Beloved City Church? Thank you so much for your generosity, friends, in investing your time, energy, and money. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you today in such a special way. Amen.